Welcome to Exceedingly Abundant Ministries with Pastor Gary Cole. We are committed to bringing you the good news of the gospel, believing that God wants to make Christians whole in spirit, soul, and body. Visit our website at eaministries.net. Now, here is Pastor Gary with today's teaching.
Well, good afternoon. The Lord bless you. I pray that you're having a great day today. Can you believe it? It's 2012. Praise God. Well, let's just start out and just say thank you, Lord, for 2011. Thank you for all the blessings. Thank you that you brought us through it, and that's why we are here today, listening, hearing the Word of God, and proclaiming it. God is so good. He's good to us all the time. You know, one thing about it, as we reflect on 2011, if it was really great, well, now you got to do something good this year. And if it was really hideous, well, let's just consider it a new page and a new start and believe God for great things this year, that this is going to be a great year for you. Amen? So we give him praise. Today we're going to be talking about new beginnings. First of all, we realize the greatest new beginning is getting born again. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." I love that. When we get born again, that spirit man within us that was dead becomes alive. The Holy Spirit regenerates us. Now the Holy Spirit is in our spirit man. We're a new creature in Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all our sins. And we're now a child of God. We're part of the kingdom of God. Remember Paul said in Colossians 1:13, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." And we're children of the kingdom right now. Remember what John says in 1 John chapter 3? In fact, let's just go there and look at it just a minute. I tell you, John had great revelation of the love of God and how we, you and I, are to walk in love everywhere we go. 1 John 3:2, "Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him," Jesus, "as he is." Isn't that exciting? And notice the result of that, knowing you're a child of God, knowing you have eternal life. "And every man that hath this hope," and remember, hope is not a hope-so in the Bible, it's a confident, unwavering expectation of good based upon the promises of God. So it's not hope-so. Hope is a sure thing in the Bible. Let's go back and read verse 3. "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure." One of the things that causes us to want to be Christ-like and allow that process of where we're being molded and shaped into the image of Christ to take place is the fact that as we know we're born again, we know our sins have been washed in the blood of Jesus, we know heaven is our home and that Jesus is our Savior and Lord, and that we're accepted in the beloved. And not only that, we're in a new family, the family of God. And all the every person who's saved on planet Earth is now our brothers and sisters in Christ, all those who are born again. So we better begin to learn to love the family of God, amen? And they have many different flavors, but again, the key is they're born again. They've repented of their sins. They've received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord and been born again from above. Yes, that's everything, isn't it? And also we have a new inheritance in Christ. We are now heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That's found in Romans chapter 8, verse 17. So we realize we have new life, new beginning in Christ. But today I'm going to talk, well, maybe you've been a Christian for a while. Maybe you've been saved and you don't feel so new. Does that ever happen? Maybe along the way you've picked up some baggage. Well, we're going to be talking about some of that baggage today and how to get rid of it. Okay, because you want 2012 to be great? Well, let's make sure we're cleaned up and we haven't allowed Satan to get any footholds in our life. Let's begin with number one, unconfessed sin. You know, we need to keep short lists with God. When you and I sin, the Holy Spirit is so faithful to convict us, to let us know that wasn't right what we said or did or even thought, and we would begin to entertain those thoughts. And if we deal with it right then, our fellowship and intimacy with Jesus goes forward. But you know, some people like to take the sin of anger, get angry, and they don't repent. I guess they angry overnight and they wake up angrier. And then Satan has a legal right to now afflict him with anger. And now they're going to become an angry person if they don't deal with it. Remember, you must deal with things in this life if we're going to walk in fellowship with God. But remember, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But remember, when you sin and don't deal with it, that gives a legal right for Satan to not only tempt you again in that area, it even can get where Satan has a legal right to operate in that area of your life. We receive that truth over here in the book of Ephesians. I want to read that to you to let you know that I'm telling you things based upon the truth of the Word of God here in Ephesians chapter 4. Paul says to the believers, he says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. The word place here is the word topos, literally a beachhead, a place now to operate in your life because you've opened the door. You sinned and you didn't deal with it. You didn't confess it. And only our sin interrupts that intimacy and fellowship with God. It gives Satan a right to come against us and to bring problems into our life. Remember, he said, neither give place to the devil, which means Christians can give Satan a place in their life. And you know that's true. Do you know any Christians that are in bondage in their life? Do you know Christians that really love Jesus and do well, but there's a couple areas in their life where it seems like they're out of control? And yet you know they love Jesus, but they have these addictions. They have these habits. Well, that can happen to a believer, okay? Now, Jesus wants to set you free, but you've got to deal with that. You've got to tear down that stronghold. You got to take away that beachhead, and you do that by confessing, repenting, and putting that under the blood of Jesus. And sometimes you need a little help in prayer, too, from others because it's become such a strong influence in your life. But the thing is, if we're going to be effective in 2012, let's keep short lists with God every day. When you recognize you sin, deal with it. And especially at night before you go to bed, go over that day and say, Lord, is there anything I need to deal with? Because you don't want Satan to be able to bring you down. And again, you don't want anything to hinder intimacy of fellowship with you and the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe we're born again for eternity. And that's why it's called eternal life, and we have it now. But we can sure be hindered in our walk with the Lord if we open doors through sin and give Satan a legal right to operate in our lives. Get that cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Deal with it, and you won't have to deal with it later. Not only unconfessed sin, unforgiveness. I think probably in my years of preaching, one of the greatest strongholds that Satan has that literally makes Christians become unfruitful and even sometimes unfaithful to God is unforgiveness. Remember, Jesus Christ died and paid for all your sins. He willingly laid down his life for you and I. Thank you, Jesus. And when we mess up, he continues to forgive us and cleanse us from all our sins. But Jesus said in this life, people would do the wrong things. They would say the wrong things. Sometimes even the people closest to us. And that really hurts, doesn't it? But Jesus says, I have forgiven you. You forgive them. That is so important because when you don't forgive, that means you're in unforgiveness. And that, again, is an open door for the enemy to begin to operate in your life. Let me prove that to you. Let's go over here to Matthew chapter 18. Again, Jesus has been teaching, and then notice here, verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 70. Literally unlimited forgiveness. And then he tells this story, and I'm not going to take time to read the story, but I'm going to give you the gist of it. There was a guy who owed millions of dollars to a certain guy. And he was going to literally get sold and put in a jail, and even his family. Well, he cried out for mercy, and the Lord, his master, forgave him the debt. Well, can you imagine how thrilled a person would be, have millions of dollars forgiven? But then he went out and found someone that owed him a few hundred dollars. Forgiving that he had been forgiven that great debt, he laid hold of that person and had him cast into jail. And his master found out what he'd done. And notice, let's take it up within. Verse 33. Shouldst now not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was angry and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Now here's the moral of the story. Here's the teaching Jesus gives. Verse 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. Put your name there. If you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother his trespasses. What will Jesus do? What will the Father do? He'll allow you to be given over to the tormentors. That's the demons. Doesn't mean you're not saved. It means Satan has an opportunity to work in your life. And you know what will happen? You'll get full of anger, bitterness, resentment, rage. If it goes far enough, you'll go murder. And again, all those things can be demonic influences. Do you understand that? Jesus, Father God, Holy Spirit, expect you to forgive from the heart those who sin against you. Remember, Romans chapter 12, what the Lord says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So let God get even. You forgive, you make that's a decision. Doesn't matter whether you feel like it or not. It's a decision, an act of your will. I forgive so-and-so for doing this to me. And Lord Jesus, I release them to you. Let God take care of it. God will always do the right thing. You can trust him. And remember, once you've made that decision to forgive, God then will begin the process of maybe healing your broken heart and woundedness. Sometimes people can do terrible things to us. But God will heal you, and you'll be whole again because you practice forgiveness. Otherwise, you can be a spiritual paraplegic. I mean, you can really be handicapped in this life as a believer if you have unforgiveness. It will shut you down to a great degree. So say, I forgive everyone who sinned against me in 2011, and ask the Holy Spirit to bring to mind any names you need to specifically forgive and release to God. And now you're free, and now God is free to work and deal with that person or persons who have so sinned and harmed you. And remember, God always does the right thing. He's always on time. Amen? So you want to be free in 2012? Make sure there's nobody from 2011 that you haven't forgiven, and make that decision right now. Amen? Also, because of the hecticness of life and problems and busyness people have to go through, sometimes in our walk we can become lukewarm. Notice over here in the book of Revelation chapter 3, that was true about a group of believers at a church at Laodicea. And notice what the Lord has to say to them. He says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Woe! Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Did you hear that? You see, our first priority is the Lord. And sometimes in life, we get away from being hot. Sometimes we can get cold. But notice here, Jesus said he especially hates for you to be lukewarm. And Jesus calls us to repent. Say, Lord, am I lukewarm? Lord, have I lost that zeal? You know in your heart if you have or not. You know if you're just now going through the motions. Yeah, you're going to church. You're putting in your time. You might read your Bible and pray a little bit, but your heart's not in it. You're not hot. And you say, Lord Jesus, I realize by being lukewarm, that literally makes you sick. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. I repent. In 2012, Lord, I'm ready now. I'm going to be hot for you, and you're going to be my first priority. Amen? Remember, that's baggage. Being lukewarm is baggage. Also, let's go to that church at Ephesus here in Ephesians chapter 2. He says this, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them who are evil, and thou hast tried them who say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast had patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy lampstand out of its place, except thou repent. Now notice here in this church, they're doing a lot of good works. They're not putting up with evil. That's better than probably 80% of the churches today. They were actually serving the Lord. But Jesus looks into them and looks in their heart and says, here's the problem. You've left your first love. Well, how could that be? Here they're serving Lord. They're going to church. They're taking care of business. But see, you can do all those things and not do them out of intimacy of love for Jesus. You know, that's so easy to happen, I'm afraid. We get caught up in the activities and forget the one we're doing them for. And forget to spend time alone with him in intimacy, loving Jesus, praising him, talking to him about everything, walking with him moment by moment. You see, it's not good. Doesn't matter how many good things you're doing. Jesus says, am I your first love? Remember that commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. In other words, he is the priority in our life. Is Jesus still your first love? Or have you allowed something, someone, or anything to take the Lord's place, to come between you and the Lord, and you're just not spending time with Jesus? He's not the most excited person in your life. It should be Jesus. You know, Jesus really, not. He only wants to be our Savior and Lord. He wants to be our best friend. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He wants that kind of intimate relationship with you. So say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I recognize I've just been going through the motion and I'm not spending time with you like I should. Forgive me, Lord Jesus. Right now, I ask you, I make you my first love. And Lord, please show me at any time during 2012 that I would get either lukewarm or start putting you first in my life. Thank you, Jesus. You see, we're taking care of baggage, amen? Isn't that good? That's what we want to do, take care of these things, okay? Maybe just because of the things we hear going on in Washington and again, the Mideast and all around the world, maybe you become fearful. Maybe you've suffered a little because you haven't been politically correct, because you have been bold. Maybe the devil's tried to shut you down with persecutions and tribulations or people making fun of you, and you've backed off a little. What are we talking about? We're talking about fear. That's one of the key things Satan tries to use to shut us down is being fearful. Remember over here in 2 Timothy, let's look at it, chapter 1. Paul's writing to young Timothy. He says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting of on of my hands." Okay, he had a spiritual gifts. He was anointed of the Lord. But something happened and he began to be maybe a little reluctant to operate in that gift, to be bold, to walk in that anointing the Lord placed on his life. You think that can happen? Yes, it can. And then he goes on and says this, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear." There's a literal spirit of fear because God said so. He's not given us. That's not from God. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, the power of the Holy Spirit, of love, his agape love, and a sound mind, self-discipline. That's what the Lord's given us. Don't tolerate any spirit of fear. Don't allow anybody to make you fearful. Don't be afraid of man. Only fear God. Notice here verse 8 says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions in the gospel according to the power of God." In other words, don't be ashamed of the Lord. Don't be afraid of persecution and tribulation that often accompanies when you're bold for Jesus. You know, that's a real temptation, isn't it? Have you gotten fearful of things you hear that's going to happen in 2012? I want to tell you, there's going to be some things happen in 2012. A lot of the prophetic voices that and people I respect are saying there's a lot of things going to be happening in 2012. There's going to be a lot of shaking up. In fact, I'm encouraging people everywhere to have at least 30 days of food and water in store because of some of the things that are going to be happening. That's just a wise thing to do. If you can do it, please do it. You'll be glad you did. But we're not to be fearful. Now, when God shows us something's about to happen, he prepares us and leads us to do things because he's going to bring us through those things. And there is our part in preparing for certain things. But God is our source. He's our provider, and we never should be fearful. You know, I think it's over 365 times that the Lord said in his word to not fear. So that's really important, which knows God knows that people would tend to struggle sometimes with fear. Oh, I like that, Isaiah 41:10. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with my righteous right hand." I love that verse. That's Isaiah 41:10. God has used that to minister to me. And what did he start out saying? "Gary, don't be afraid. Fear not. I'm with you. I'll help you. I'm going to take care of this." Praise God. Amen. That's what God's saying to you. Don't be afraid. I think it was David who said, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." That's Psalm 56:3. Do you ever get scared? Don't give in to it. Say, "I'm not going to be afraid. I'm trusting God." You know, the Bible tells us to not be afraid of what man can do to us. But that is a temptation, isn't it? Remember, your source is the Lord. So if you're been dealing with fear, let's right now say, "Father, fear, get out of my life in Jesus' name. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. And I receive that power, love, and sound mind in Jesus' name. And that's what I'm going to walk in." Amen. Maybe things have been in 2011 where you've even gone as far as losing hope. Well, you need to remember who your hope is. Remember over here in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 27, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." You see, our hope is a person, Jesus Christ. Remember, we have faith for today and hope for tomorrow. But remember, hope is not a hope-so. Hope is a confident, unwavering expectation of good based upon the promises of God. Jesus is our hope. I'm trusting him today. Well, what about tomorrow? Well, Jesus is my hope for tomorrow. He's going to be there tomorrow. In fact, Jesus already knows what's going to happen from eternity past to eternity future. He's got me covered in 2012. He knows what's going to happen. And if I'll listen to him, he'll direct my steps, take care of me, and meet my every need. Amen. So you have a bright hope because your hope is not based on the stock market or the government. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. In fact, Paul says over here, a lot of times every day, I don't know about you, I put on the whole armor of God. The Bible says we need to put on that armor. Recognize who we are in Christ and put on those pieces of armor. Again, all the pieces, pictures of Jesus Christ and who we are in him. But notice here in 1 Thessalonians 5:8, it says, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation." Remember, that's sure, not hope so. A confident knowing that I am born again. So I place that helmet of hope. Lord Jesus, you're my hope and future. I'm trusting you today, and you're my hope for the future. Amen. I pray that blessed you. Or maybe just because of the things that have been happening, you become weak in your faith. You don't want to get into unbelief. The Bible says God hates unbelief. In fact, unbelief caused the children of Israel, many of them, not to be able to go in the promised land. You don't want to miss the promised land. Remember, the promised land is not heaven. The promised land is your inheritance in Christ in this life. The place, the good place he has for you if you will follow him by faith. Remember the warning over here, and I think it's really encouraging, Hebrews 10:35. "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence." And think about that. Do you have total confidence in God for this upcoming year? "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith." You're just, aren't you? "But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. For we are not of them who draw back into perdition." Really, that's a fancy word for misery. "But of them that believe to the saving of the soul." We walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Lord, I'm trusting you today. Lord, I'm trusting you with this person, with this situation. I'm trusting you with my future hope and plans. Lord Jesus, my life is yours. I surrender myself afresh and anew to you. I am trusting you. Lord, I'm going to stay in your word. I'm going to stand on the promises of God, and I am going to be strong in faith. You make that declaration. Lord, I'm going to trust you, come hell or high water, and you'll see me through. That's the kind of declarations we need to be making. So if you've been struggling with unbelief, get full of faith. Say, "Lord, I choose to trust you." Remember, every believer, Romans 12:3, has been given a measure of faith. Operate in that measure, and it'll even grow and increase. Remember Romans 10:17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." But you're not at all ready for 2012 if you're not born again. Remember, Jesus could come back or you could check out. You want to get saved? Pray this prayer with me and mean it from the heart. Dear God, I understand that I must enter. I understand today that Jesus Christ died for my sins and rose again. I repent of my sins. Lord Jesus, come into my heart right now. Be my Savior and Lord of my life. Let your precious blood now cleanse me from all my sins. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Amen. I pray you prayed that prayer from your heart. And if you did, you need to find a good Bible-believing teaching church, get baptized, immersed in water, get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, finding his purpose and plan for your life and walking in it. It will bless you and others. God bless you. Have a great 2012.
This broadcast is made possible by our faithful partners in the ministry outreach of Bethel Worship Center in Joplin, Missouri. If you have been blessed by Pastor Gary Cole's teaching and would like to know more about our ministry, feel free to visit our website at eaministries.net. That's eaministries.net.